Opposed? Thumbs down online. That passes unanimously. So Chief, did you want to share anything with us as far as the chair report?
Yeah, thank you, David. Thought I might just, I think I've reported on this before, but we completed all of our visits to, we went to 7 of the 8 districts. We tried on the 8th, but we're unsuccessful. I've done these a good number of years, and I think that this was far and away, I think, the most productive, positive round that I can recall. I tried to emphasize in my remarks the importance of judicial independence, and Ron and Michael did really, I think, a superb job of answering questions of the legislators. They had good substantive questions. We had, I think, genuinely constructive constructive conversations. I tried to ask them if there's anything afoot with respect to the judiciary, and it didn't get any responses back. There was anything significant, but that doesn't mean there won't be. So I felt really, really good about things. And I was also, I have to say, impressed by our presiding judges. Typically, we had both the presiding judge of the district court and the juvenile court speak. So all in all, I was very happy about how things went. That's my report.
Thank you, Chief. We wish you the best in getting better.
Thank you.
We will turn to Ron on the State Court Administrator's report.
Thank you. The State of the Judiciary is scheduled for January 16th. We're changing things up. January 16th, that's the first day of the legislative session. It's scheduled for 2:15. In years past, we would have vehicles here to take council members up to the Capitol building where council members would watch the State of the Judiciary live, and then that stopped during the pandemic, and thought it might be nice to start it up again if you would like to go. So we will plan on having some arranging to have some vehicles available, and we'll send out some information to collect RSVPs. Thought that could be an enjoyable thing for the council to do. So
Norm, what was that date again?
That's January 16th. We have our regular meeting that morning, and so we would just, the conclusion of the meeting, head up to the Capitol and sit in the House gallery while the Chief Justice delivers the State of the Judiciary. The March 2024 Judicial Council meeting is scheduled to be in St. George, and as a reminder, the idea behind that is that council members could stay if they choose for the bar conference that will be held that week. For your awareness, Ryan Peters was confirmed as a juvenile court judge in the 4th District, and Judge Bizzell tells me that he will begin next week.
Yes.
So he is ready, and they are ready for him.
Sorry, I didn't know the music.
We would do that.
In celebration of getting the 4th District. Our house DJ today is Justice.
I'm like.
The final thing I'll share, some of you might have seen this. I've put it up on the screen. This is a statement that the Supreme Court issued when asked about the painting in the Supreme Court room. So this statement was in Fox News report because it was Fox News that first asked the Supreme Court about it. The Supreme Court worked to develop this. I wanted to share this because I thought it was a really beautiful statement. We understand that some of our former colleagues worried that the painting might be a distraction from the important business of the court. As a result, curtains were installed to cover the painting while court was in session. Although we respect the decision of the justices that came before us, the court is currently constituted, no longer believes that the curtains are necessary. The curtains have remained open during oral arguments since January 2023 with no discernible impact on court proceedings. Our decision to keep the painting on display also reflects the court's general approach to handling diverse viewpoints. When we tackle divisive issues as a court, we do not hide our disagreements. We share our opinions and try to persuade our colleagues and reconcile our divergent views. If we remain divided on a particular issue, we must explain our disagreement and justify our position in a public opinion. Just as there will inevitably be conflicting views on difficult questions of law, there will always be disagreements over particular pieces of art. We understand that some people like the painting and others do not. Diversity of thought is healthy. To us, the painting represents the ability of individuals to hold differing opinions while still respecting each other and each other's views. As a community, we must find ways to talk to each other civilly, especially about matters on which we disagree. More fundamentally, both the painting and the courtroom belong not to the court, but to the people of Utah. Members of the public should be able to view the painting and decide for themselves what they think of it. Oral arguments are open to the public, and we extend a warm welcome to anyone interested in viewing the painting or learning more about the work of the court. I thought it was a fantastic statement, not only about the piece of art itself, but about the work of the court and about diverse viewpoints. We do similar things here on the Judicial Council. We discuss very difficult issues sometimes, and sometimes there's consensus and sometimes there's not, and that is okay. That happens in the court system. So that was it. Just wanted to share that with all of you. That's all that I had. Okay.
All right. I'll take care of the report from the management committee. The one thing that came up in our recent meeting last week that is a note that I want to maybe share with you. I know that we have the rule for consideration today on the consent calendar about matters under advisement. And we've recently, as a function of the management committee, received some formal reports from some presiding judges consistent with rule 3104. I'm sorry that we didn't kind of catch this before, but subsection 3L of that rule regarding presiding judges indicates how they report to the council or to the management committee judges who are not in compliance. That rule talks about the 2-month rule that judges have to make decisions, and then it talks about in subsection 3L(4) if a case is held for an additional 30 days, so then you have 60 days plus the 30 of this rule, the state level administrator reports that to the management committee, and that has happened in this last week. But it just got us to thinking that we don't know where that extra 30 days comes from other than this rule. We are concerned that that might create an appearance that it's actually 60 plus 30, which would of course be inconsistent with the clarity that you've tried to bring to the rule. And I just didn't know, or we thought that perhaps policy and planning might want to consider 104 since they've recently grappled with 101. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? And the real question is if there's a report of non-compliance with the 60-day rule, whether that should be reported then to management or and the second issue was rule 104 requires that once a month judges are to report their compliance and there are several judges who are simply not reporting at all. And the rule says that it should be reported, but doesn't say what we should do in the event that it doesn't happen. So those are things we'd like to throw your way if you'd consider it.
Let me ask a follow-up on that question.
Sure.
So then when we discuss it, Matt, are you proposing that, because a lot of times what we're doing in that meeting is just kind of wordsmithing and making sure it's clear, but substantively, do you think something should be done? Did management discuss that?
Well, we don't. One of the things that we talked about in your wordsmithing with the other rule was trying to bring real clarity to, number one, what the standard is when it starts. And I think that the work that you've done there is excellent. We just, as a group, didn't know what to think of this, you know.
You want us to make a proposal?
Yes.
About it? Okay.
I think so. Yeah. We didn't have a concrete proposal. We just felt some tension in. It was triggered by the reports we got that said, hey, we're 60 plus 30 out. And all of a sudden we thought to ourselves,
where does that come from?
Yeah. And what does that mean?
Yeah, we didn't, I mean, we haven't discussed that.
It's
good to highlight it. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't, it wasn't on, you know, obviously it would have been, or.
I blame Dorita. Mike, get on that. Anticipate that. This is good to know, and we can talk about if they don't report at all what we should do.
I was actually one of the presiding judges that brought to Shane's attention, without naming names, a couple of judges who, despite repeated reminders to fill out those monthly reports indicating compliance or non-compliance, were refusing to do it. And I mean, I have to conclude that it was a refusal, because the number of emails, the number of messages that I sent saying this is really important, you need to do this, there's no other reasonable conclusion to draw than that. And I asked Shane about that, and I said, well, what is the consequence, to your point?
Right.
And Shane mentioned that it goes to the council's ability to certify a judge.
Right. That the back end is that we as a council certify to JPEC that people are in compliance. And
wouldn't the consequence naturally be it's presumed they're not in compliance if they won't report?
Right. But if they, well, we'll talk about it.
Can I throw out another rather huge ambiguity for your consideration? The report and the way the judges are doing it, and I think it's right, is they're saying, as of this point in time, on a monthly basis, I know of no cases that are beyond this 60 days. If they fail to report and we ask them to report, do they go back in time and say, had I? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So maybe you could also consider.
I am in compliance.
Yes. And so I didn't know if we should have something that, some provision that actually says that if there's been a failure to comply, this is the way that you bring it up to snuff, so to speak.
The other thing I think we probably need to discuss too is if you're coming up on a retention cycle, and let's just say you're out of compliance 1 month, is 1 month sufficient for the council to say, we're not certifying you to stand for retention? Is one enough? Does it have to be two, three? You know, what is the magic number of months where you're out of compliance? Because that came up in my discussions with Shane, was how many is enough? So that's another thing that we probably needed to talk about, is if it's more strict compliance, strict liability, or are we going to have some sort of grace buffer zone there?
The other thing fundamentally is, what if the judge comes back and says, I didn't give my presiding judge these reports because I don't like my presiding judge and just don't want to communicate with them? Whatever reason.
That wasn't the case.
No, I'm just saying. Here's my deal. What we're certifying as a council is whether they're in compliance, not with this rule of reporting to the presiding judge, but whether they're in compliance with the 60-year. What if they come back and say, I don't like Dorita and I didn't want to report to him, but as it turns out, council, I've been compliant with 60-day to the 2-month rule.
Well, that's
one of the 2-month rule. It's going to be a 60-day rule if the rule passes, but it's 2-month rule. It, you know, what it,
Well, I think that's why we have to address it, because
I agree with you, and that's why we as a management committee are asking you to do this, because now all of these issues that we've identified are coming to us, and we're like, oh, well, I don't know. So
we got it. We're on that.
Okay. That is our report, management committee. Budget, fiscal management, Judge Lindsay.
It's going to be covered under budget and grants. We're good.
Lovely. Liaison, Justice Peterson.
Okay, we had a meeting last week, and I had a conflict, so I was not there. I don't mean to put my colleagues on the spot, but did anything happen that should be reported?
It's probably confidential.
We're in trouble. Okay. Sorry to do that to you. Okay, nothing happened.
We did not have a full group to take any action, so
okay.
We just discussed some things with Michael.
Nothing they're willing to talk about, apparently.
Our agenda was talking about sequestered bills, right?
So things will start getting pretty active soon, and I guess this is sort of liaison-ish. Michael Drexel and I went up to the bars. The bar has sort of a breakfast where they have lawyer legislators come. So Michael and I went up to that and talked with the legislators who were there. Senator McKell was there. Someone, Representative Cobb, was there, who I met for the first time. And I'm going to pronounce his last name wrong. The one, it ends with an E-T.
Lube.
Lube, yes. Okay. We spoke with him. And there were a few others that came who I'm not remembering. There were probably about seven, maybe?
Yes.
That about right? So we met, talked. We didn't talk about anything of substance.
Liaised.
We liaised.
Fabulous. All right. Policy and planning.
Other than the rules that were here, nothing that I know of. Was there anything substantive from the last meeting?
Yeah, Sam wasn't there, and we elected him in perpetuity to be our chair. That was like the decision that was made. So as long as Sam is on this, he is now the chair of policy, planning, and technology.
What happens when you miss?
Yeah.
Chair for right. Life.
Elizabeth, do you want to just join us at the table?
And I'll sure. Thank you.
You're pinch hitting for Margaret, right?
Yes, Margaret Payne was unable to be here. I am Elizabeth Wright. I am the executive director of the Utah State Bar, and Margaret asked me to report on behalf of the bar. As Justice Peterson said, we did have our lawyer legislator breakfast. It's an annual event. Historically, the lawyer legislators have been great help. You know, sometimes because they're lawyers and they understand some things when it affects the bar or the courts. We'll see. We're finding history is not as, you know, historically isn't a word. It's historic history, but we're trying to reach out to them and continue our relationships with them. Pardon me, my notes are on my phone. So we do that event annually, and there was a turnout, and we thank Justice Peterson and Michael for coming. It was great to have them there. Friday was the Fall Forum, our annual event at the Little America, and it was a huge success. We sold out and had lots of vendors and sponsors there. It's historically, there's that word again, a very popular event, so we are glad to offer those CLEs. There is an order from the court from the 90s prohibiting us from spending license fees on our conventions. So they have to be self-supporting, and we're very pleased that the Fall Forum and the Spring Convention are always self-supporting. We had a lot of sponsors. We sell a lot of vendor spaces. So we're very pleased with that. It got a lot of positive feedback. Our Spring Convention will be March 14th and through the 16th in St. George, as usual. That is also a very historically popular event. I heard we might have the entire Supreme Court present in some capacity or another to present there. So we're
big stuff.
There's the soundtrack. I wanted it done.
lawyers love it when the Supreme Court's there, and judges in general. So, you know, we do really appreciate it when judges attend our events and present on panels. The lawyers of the state really want to hear from you and, you know, get guidance from you about how to be better advocates in front of you and to get to know you. So we're always thankful when you all participate in our events. Summer, we are going to continue to do it remotely. It just hasn't been an event that we can make money on anymore. It's too expensive. Sun Valley, we've been priced out of. It's, you know, it's for Jeff Bezos and the private plane people and not us anymore. So, you know, there are some older, more senior lawyers who would really like us to be able to go back there, but we just can't afford it. So for now, we're going to continue to have the summer event remote, which was very popular. We had, you know, literally thousands of attendees on the remote event from all over the state. All the judicial districts are represented. That's, you know, some of the beauty, what the silver lining of when things are remote. We just finished our financial audit. We have an outside financial audit every year, as is common for nonprofits. Tanner has been the most recent auditor. We have a clean audit, and it's on our website if anybody's interested. The state audit of the bar has begun, and we had our first meeting, although I think there's already been a lot of financial work done on the state auditor's end. All of our financials are on the website. They're publicly available. We include them every month in our meeting today. So we'll see where that goes. We will be hosting Governor Cox at the bar on January 5th. He has a Disagree Better initiative. And that's one of the things we've been working on is, you know, civility, and especially in, I mean, it's always difficult for lawyers, but in this time, how can we disagree better and still respect people's humanity and be civil? And he will be presenting on that on January 5th at the bar. And then we are going to host the February bar exam at the Law and Justice Center next year, next February, end of February. We usually test about 100 examinees in April, and we can fit them at the bar. So we will do it there. One of the issues with space in administering the bar exam is the increasing numbers of accommodations every year. And it's trickling up. Spoken to the deans at the law school, and they're having increased numbers of accommodations, people who need extra time or additional breaks, and it's, you know, percolates up. So we have to find extra proctor and extra rooms to accommodate these people. And every year we manage to do it. We always take a deep breath. Are we going to have enough rooms? And, you know, we sometimes take over offices and things, but we should be able to do it at the bar, and that will happen the last week of February.
Is there a time for Governor Cox's presentation?
I think it's going to be at lunchtime, and I will get back and speak to Michelle. Sure, everybody. We post the time and get that information out.
Wonderful. Any questions for our representative? I know last year we sprung the idea of judges being more present in the conference, but we sprung it a little bit late, and so we were not as timely as it could have been with interference with calendars. I don't know if we ever discussed any feedback on whether that was a positive experience, or we want to speak to that from last year
at the spring convention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Should we do that again?
Was good.
That was great.
Yeah.
Well, there's enough more warning this year that.
Well, you know, we were requested specifically by Margaret Plain, I think, to try and attend, if my recollection is correct. And so a lot of us did. And I think, I mean, I certainly enjoyed it. I was glad that I was there. It'd be interesting to have feedback from the bar to see if it made a difference to have more judges there, because at least this group made an effort to be there, I think.
We always get good feedback when judges are present, especially the litigators. You know, they like to hear from the judges and socialize, you know, speak to you, socialize with you. So. we always get good feedback and we appreciate it.
I wore my tag and I know I was approached by a lot of members of the bar who I didn't know and some who I did know. And I was able to be involved in lots of good conversations. So I thought it was good interaction.
I sat on a panel and plenty of people came up after and told me they disagreed. So it was.
They were listening.
They were listening.
Awesome.
I would just add that the Board of District Court Judges has encouraged the board members to attend. They will be meeting down there at the same time. So hopefully we'll see some showing there.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Right, then we'll just plan on doing it just the same this year. So
there's a pickleball tournament, I heard.
Yes, we are going to try to.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like the Supreme Court needs to field the team as well. We're you'll probably win. I mean,
there's some ringers on the Supreme Court. No.
What law firm is it that usually writes their Harleys down there? You know, I've seen them a number of years. A whole bunch show up on Harleys. Maybe they've gotten old enough now that they're going to have to switch over to pickleball.
Yeah. They'll be the Harley team.
Yeah.
Maybe the weather leathers.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for being here today. Our next item, number 5, is our friends from the Judicial Performance Evaluation Commission. Oh, there we go. Is Demetri Hodgson joining us online?
Bridget Romano is joining us online. She's a commissioner.
Very good.
And I'm Mary Margaret Pingree. I have been here once before, but I'll have to admit it was the second day. So I don't remember very many of you. Hopefully over time I'll get to know you. But I'm looking forward to presenting today. I wanted to mostly just give you an update on some of the projects that we're working on and also on the survey that just finished. So, and Bridget's online and can answer questions that I can't. There are still a few that I can't answer. Our court staff survey was completed about a month ago, and we had a 51% response rate, which is a little bit lower than we had last cycle, but in the same ballpark. We did have a problem that happened in the first week that I wanted to let you know about. As our research firm was reviewing the survey results from the first people who were taking the survey, they found that due to an error in their coding, one question was missed, and that was both for midterm judge surveys and retention judge surveys. So the missing question for retention judges was a pretty critical one. It was, would you recommend this judge be retained? Yes or no? Of course, that's the question that was missed. By the time the error was identified, about 80 court staff had completed the survey.